Okay, today let me begin the talk. So I'm going to talk about torsion, and I've been interested in torsion because of the work of my friend Schrödinger for a long time. So also I have talked with Ed Witten almost 20 years ago about how to use the film that I did with Ken Wunder on rattle bundles, stable rattle bundles, to construct Hamilton Young Mills connection. For a long time, this has to be rather stuck, but then I start to think about the problem again. So let me just start out. So originally, it was a complexification, just taking a trivial product, but now you use a rock product. I learned it from Andy. So you put exponential 2dy, and y is on the internal space, and on the Minkowski space-time, x is in the internal space. And you put down this condition, you ask for supersymmetric conditions. You found equations that are interesting. So the bundles need to satisfy the Hamilton-Young-Mills condition, the first two equations as I wrote down here, and also there exists a free form coming from the omega. In Schrödinger's paper, he wrote called J, but anyway, we have X here, and there's dilaton, which can be computed. And this all this equation, as we know, come from supersymmetric consideration, and I just write it down here. Since you are much more familiar with this than me, so I'm going to go fast here. So write down these equations, and I want to solve the equation. So you redefine the field somewhat, rescale it, and then you solve this equation. So there's x field that you need to put in, and there is the complex structure finally that comes from the x field and this spinor. So this defines almost complex structure as is seen in the old paper of Andy and other people, which I don't want to go into great detail about all this. So this is a covariant constant field, and that gives an integrable complex structure. So now what I want to focus on is the following final equation that I want to deal with. So anyway, you get a Taylor form, you get a torsion, the X field, and then a holomorphic N form that comes out from this consideration. And it turns out this is a constant, as was derived from the equation, and it gives this equation. So altogether, in order for supersymmetric symmetry to exist, we have four equations. These are the four equations I want to address. So these four equations. Okay. So now I will go slower now. So we want to say that. What do we do with these four equations? How to find a background with a complex manifold, a bundle. So there's a bundle we need to find, and the omega, which is a complex structure, and the complex structure, and a Hamilton, and a Hamilton form. All these are coupled together through this equation. So there also exists a holomorphic free form. So we want to see whether this system has a torsion. So that's a question that I want to address during this talk. Now before I forget, there are a lot of people who work on this subject, so let me just put down all the contributors. I forgot about Martin when I wrote down. So I learned it from many people, but I don't really learn it enough. But anyway, So there's a large group of people who have been making effort to do this. And I should say that in this paper I learned that you can find a exact solution for this equation through the Iwasawa manifold. Schrödinger, of course, has worked on some solutions, but with some singularity, some delta functions. I'm looking for smooth solutions at this moment. So what is the global view about these four equations that we want to solve? So after a long time, I finally conclude a conjecture, first of all. And I found that interesting, this question. So let me write down point out the statement first. I want to have a complex three-dimensional manifold. So that's because we have an integral complex structure. And we want to find a Hermitian form. Previously, I just follow Andy here, x is omega in the previous slide. So which would satisfy j rest j, d of it is equal to 0. Now the equation is not exactly this, but it's equivalent to say that such a form exists. So this is a condition, j squared d of it is equal to 0. Now remember, k that means dj equals 0. This dj squared equals 0 is weaker condition. Dj equals 0 means Taylor is Taylor. Dj squared is weaker, obviously. And in mathematical literature, this is called balanced manifold. Balanced. So what we are looking for is a balanced manifold. So that's the first statement we need. This is the equivalent, the fourth equation of Andes. The second condition we want to put down is that there exists a holomorphic vector bundle which is stable with respect to J. Now, notice that if you have this J squared being closed, you can define stability of a bundle. Namely, you take any sub-bundle or sub-sieve of the bundle, you define the degree. The degree is now well defined because of this condition, and you have the slope defined, and you want the slope to be decreasing. So you can talk about stability of a bundle, and you want the first trend class equal to 0 and the second trend class equals to the second trend class of the manifold. So these are the conditions. These are the conditions that is needed for the first equation and the third equation, because the third equation says that the second trend form of the vector bundle minus the second trend form of the manifold is equal to dd bar of j. So this is necessary. And also built in, we are looking for a non-relative holomorphic free form over the manifold. I make a bold, maybe not so bold, after thinking for a long time, that these are the only conditions you need to prove the existence of the solution for the system that Andy Schrödinger wrote down. And I believe it's basically unique. Now, this condition is put down with one condition, that the apparent string theory does not seem to detect, is that the equation has to be elliptic. Of course, the Hermitian unmoved condition is an elliptic system, but the two extra conditions is not quite elliptic, as I will demonstrate to you later. So what does ellipticity mean? Ellipticity means that we linearize the nonlinear system, and the linearized system should be elliptic. The symbol of the whole system should be non-degenerate. And a priori, there's no reason based on what Andy wrote down is elliptic. So it corresponds to some inequality, which I will demonstrate to you later. And I don't see why string theory did not show up this condition. But without ellipticity, things are not even finite dimensional in general, and things are ugly. But so this here I assume is elliptic system to be part of the impulse. So now there, okay. So there First of all, there are two ways to solve this thing. One is a perturbation theory due to Junli and myself. So let me say it. This very simple thing is that we perturb around Calabi-Yau. So this will be perturbation about Calabi-Yau manifold. So what we do is that you take the bundle, the bundle to be simply the tangent bundle of the Calabi-Yau plus the trivial bundle. And now, of course, there's a trivial connection on here, the level trivial connection, and also the trivial connection here. The very important observation is that the Hermitian metric has a canonical choice, T. In order for this family to move to a new complex structure, tangent bundle plus O is trivial, but I want to deform the complex structure on E so that it becomes SU4 structure. This is SU3 plus trivial. So when you deform to a new complex structure, we want to find out the initial condition in order for it to be deformable. Turns out there's a canonical choice of T to make this to be possible. There's a unique T that makes it to be possible. And this is very important. And what we do is that we look at the Kodaira standard theory for deformation and complex structure on the bundle. It is dictated by an element in this group. So H1 of the manifold with coefficient of endomorphism of the bundle. And this can be divided into a matrix of elements. And so what turns out is that the diagonal element has to be non-zero. If the diagonal elements are non-zero, then there's a unit T, the unit scaling on the total space of the bundle, so that you can deform to a smooth family of Hermitian mu. So we choose this T as a result. Now, we also easily observe the fourth equation in Schrödinger system is actually equivalent to this equation, a simple observation. And using this equation, that's why you get the balance condition that I discussed earlier. This is a balance condition for the Hermitian metric and has to be satisfied. And I do some deformation theory, which I don't have time to go through, but let me state the statement of the result to you. It says the following thing. So let X be a Calabi-Yau, and you can put a bundle on here, the trivial bundle plus a tangent bundle. If the associated cohomology class, which we call K12 and K21 before, non-zero, then in fact you can deform the metric, the Hermitian metric, arbitrarily large, so that the harmonic part of the Hermitian metric is equal to C omega, and the whole thing can solve the system of anti-Schrödinger. And this tells you that the scaling of the metric is not stabilized by simply saying that the equation can be solved. So arbitrary large C, there exists a solution. So let me now give you some little bit more general situation. If you have a, if you want to go to SU5, for example, you take a tangent bundle plus many copies of trivial bundle, then you look at the off-diagonal term, and you find these elements. These elements are interesting because it just happens to be omega 1 of T and omega 1 of T star, actually T star here. And this, as long as they are linear independent, we can find solutions for the system. And there are many examples that you can find, for example, for the quintet. For the quintet, you can construct extension bundles by doing this sequence. The tangent bundle, and there's a kernel, this bundle into there. And this sequence defines a extension, which is non-trivial. And we can use this extension to construct the theorem that we need. So in particular, therefore, for quintet, for large C, there is deformation so that it becomes a solution. And this you can do it for several manifolds, including the manifold I construct on the qubit. All this can be constructed. And so this provides a way to deform the existing cardia to saturate the familiar system. So the landscape is thickened, much bigger than just cardia in the neighborhood. Okay. Now, the second part is more, in a way, more interesting to me, that make me to feel that the conjecture I make is true. And I want to tell you here, this is on a completely non-Taylor manifold. And the background cannot be deformed to Taylor manifold. And so I want to construct such a example for you. So the important example is just a special example, but yet it gives rise to the understanding of the structure. It's a toroid bundle over KV surface. Was studied by quite a few people. So I take the KV surface and I take two light bundles, omega 1 and omega 2, and preserve the 1-1 forms. And they define some cohomology curvature of some light bundle. And one can define a permissive metric on the total space. These are toroid bundle over KV surface now. And I get a holomorphic free form by doing that. These are long, where theta j equal to that on the total space. This manifold has the cohomology looks like this. So F is a KV surface, so you can write down the cohomology. And they are not Taylor, clearly. So what do we do for this manifold? We take a Lie bundle L1, L2 corresponding to the omega 1, omega 2. And we define the bundle, the total space, in this way. It's a rank 4 bundle now. Now, this rank 4 bundle is decomposable, but I can deform, just like what I did with Junyi, so that it becomes irreducible. But in order to understand easier, let me not do it at this moment. So what I do is that I twist the Hermitian form in this way, where U is unknown. And I get this Hermitian metric, and the bundle is this bundle, and I want to solve the equation that Andy wrote down. And three of them are trivially satisfied. The number three is not. So number three is the one about the second term form. So what we do is we wrote down the equation for that. The equation turns out to be this equation. And so this is the equation that corresponding to the third equation of geometry. 1, 2, and 4 are automatically satisfied. Now this equation in a special case can be written in this form. Now this is a rather remarkable equation. This is very similar to the original equation for solving the Calabi conjecture. Now if you look at this equation, you can see that this equation is not elliptic in general. And the ellipticity corresponding to the requirement that this is a positive definite. And I have to impose this condition in order to solve the equation. Otherwise, it's not there. I cannot solve it. I solve it at the same time. So the uniqueness clearly would involve this inequality, which was not put down by supersymmetric consideration. Now, so I need to solve this equation. This equation turns out is solvable, and this is big effort to solve. And I always feel that if you make a big effort to solve something, it must be good. So that's why I feel the whole system is more interesting than what I thought. So under this assumption, and we normalize this, and I want this A to be small. This corresponding to the volume is getting larger and larger. So there's still large radius limit here. Only for at least the method that I use, I assume that the radius should be large in order to be able to solve it. So, but then, that means the equation is good as far as the volume is large. Now, let me just indicate a few sentences how you solve it, why it's tough to solve. In order to solve an equation of this type, a nonlinear equation, you have to put down several control on the problem. So this nonlinear equation under the electricity, you have to solve quite a few important estimates. One is to get a good estimate of this time, to be able to control U, upper bound and lower bound, and then you do a gradient estimate. So the gradient estimate of this time, which control the first order of U, which takes a big effort to do. And then there's a second order estimate, which control the Laplace and U. And this actually is non-trivial to do. Most non-trivial part is this. And then the third order estimate is also needed, and this becomes much more messy. And in many ways, this is more difficult than the original proof of the Calabi conjecture. But on the other hand, it's easier because I understand the structure of the problem much more by now compared with the old days when I don't understand the structure. But so let me therefore say that the following thing. In general, the conjecture I make is this. So this conjecture. And electricity needs to be understood. And the stability also needs to be understood well. Stability is a problem in algebraic geometry. But the fact of matter is that it's almost impossible to prove something is stable. Unless you have good luck. What is a good luck? A manifold M, if the bundle over it has very little, when the manifold is non-Taylor, in a generic situation, there's nothing in M. No curve, no surface, nothing. And as a result, it makes you much easier to prove there are almost no subsif. This happens in the case of complex two dimensions. In the non-Taylor surface, we construct existence of Hermitian-Young-Mills connection by doing that exactly. In an extreme, when the manifold is far away from algebraic or Taylor, this is much easier to prove for some reason, because there's no obstruction for analysis. So that's one thing I should say. The second thing is, in general, there's obstruction for the vector bundle restrict to P1, being the destabilized the theory. But in many cases, when this manifold is non-Taylor, there's no P1 there at all. For example, the toroid bundle over K3, if I choose a back K3, a K3 which is non-algebraic, then there's no curve here, so there's no P1 in this whole bundle, whole manifold. So therefore, the problem of vector bundle restrict to P1 is not there, because there's not even P1. So in many ways, when the manifold is getting to farther and farther away from being algebraic or non-Taylor, there's less obstruction for many things. So whether it's a good blessing or not, I'm not so sure. But anyway, this gives rise to many interesting, beautiful structure for mathematics. Whether it can be tested in LHC or not is irrelevant to me. I stop here.
So, in many cases of interest, you actually get a bihermitian structure. Do you have any comments on that?
You mean the bihermitian structure that you propose? Is that the dilation of those structures? This is very tough to construct as a complex analytic object. Once you have a complex analytic object, to prove existence of those equations you want is actually not hard. but to construct the complex analytic object is tough. Here is, well, after we have examples already, and also I think this system is much easier to construct as a complex analytic object. I mean, it's similar to say you want to construct a manifold with first chain cast equals zero. We have algebraic geometric means to construct. But for the bi-Hermitian metric, I have no idea how you construct those background.
So, before you leave, the organizers have an announcement, but I think before the organizers make their announcement, perhaps the organizers could stand. Rob, Johnny, Kintaro, Fernanda, Alex, in the back there. And I think you'll all join me in giving them a well-deserved round of applause for this wonderful night.
Okay, I just want to thank several people. Can you hear me? Okay. So, first of all, on behalf of the organizing committee, I want to thank all the speakers and the presenters at the panel discussion and after dinner speakers, and also Jan for the letter from the future, and who else? Maybe that's it. And most importantly, we would like to thank all the participants for coming here and asking questions and interesting discussions. And I also want to thank other kinds of people who helped us running this conference. And this conference is really handmade conference run by field staff and families of field staff of the Field Institute. So I show you the names of these people. So these are standing, wearing this orange t-shirt. So especially the field staff also, who is not here, John Alexander, who helped in computing, Alexa Brand for the scanning and reception and many other things, and also Judith and Luke for similar things. But among all, I would like to thank Alison Conway, who is standing back. Please come here. Okay, she is actually the main person who directed these people and also organizers. I had nothing to do, so I asked her to give me some job, and she gave me this dong the bell for tell you the time. And okay, so but the conference was just this week, but she has been preparing for a long time. She's a really hard worker, and she designed many things, like
web page, and also this name tag. And for the past 10 months, I have been in the Fields Institute, and occasionally I came in very early, being sure that I would be the first, like 7 a.m. But she's there, and surprisingly. And when I go home, average time is like 8 p.m. Occasionally, she's still.
I don't have a light helping
us. No. So, organizers have a present for Allison.